book of John, chapter 1.
All right, you found John chapter number 1. I'd like to ask you to stand with us this morning. We want to begin to read in verse number 40. John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now we do know that the word Cephas, that name there, Cephas, it is a Aramaic name for the word Peter. We want to study this morning the change in Simon's life. And we want to preach on this thought from Simon to Peter. Lord, we pray that you would help us this morning as we look in a portion of your word. Jesus specifically said, Thou art Simon, but thou shalt be called Cephas. There's going to be a change take place in his life. And God, I pray that you would help us then, being our helper to preach the word of God today. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Father, for all you do for us, for the great singing of the hour. I pray, God, you would bless now as we stand to preach, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe each and every one of the disciples, we've looked at Nathanael, we've preached about Levi, I believe every one of them are common, everyday, ordinary men. I want to look first of all at Simon's decision to follow Christ. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. I want to see some personal traits about Peter. He was the brother of Andrew. He was probably a very physically strong and of a rugged physique type of a person. There's no doubt that he had spent his lifetime with those heavy oars of a boat on the rough and stormy seas. He was surely a successful fisherman. And along with his brother Andrew, he was business partners with two men named James and John. He was a very emotionally unstable person. In fact, the word Simon means unstable. He's going to be changed from unstable to being named Peter, which the word is Petros, which means a stone. He's going to be going from unstable to being rock-like in character. He was an emotional person. He was an impulsive person. He was a person who was always swift to respond. He was rash and hasty in every decision, it seemed like. And he was always super swift to act in the spur of a moment. I believe he's probably the first person we see in the Bible that had the foot and mouth disease. For many times he would open his mouth at the wrong time and insert his foot. Those were some of his personal traits. We have many likewise. We see his personal tender, where Jesus says to him as he is fishing, the Bible says he was casting a net. He was in the very act of fishing when Jesus said, Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says straightway they left their nets. Now I don't know, but to me, if you're casting a net, you're not drawing it. In other words, you've just thrown it off the boat, and Jesus said, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I did not see where Simon Peter took the time to pull the net back in. He just left it in the water. He just left it in the water and went off and followed Jesus Christ. He was certainly obedient to the voice of Jesus. This impulsive, emotional man. He has a personal tender from Jesus, and he is willing to follow. In fact, we read it in your hearing. He said, Your name's going to be changed from Simon to Cephas or Peter. He had made a decision to follow Christ. That was one change in his life. Number two, I want you to see the demonstration of the favor he had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Mark, Jesus said this. He named them Boanerges, which means the sons of thunder, speaking about Peter, speaking about James, and speaking about John. Those three disciples somehow got a little closer to the Lord, and he calls them the sons of thunder. In chapter number 14, we see something about Peter. They're in a storm. He, being a very strong fisherman and of rugged physique, had labored and labored and labored, and they could not overcome the storm. And as they were working there in this storm, rowing tirelessly and growing completely weary, the Bible says in verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter, that one who had made a decision to follow Christ, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. What about that? And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We see his favor in Christ demonstrated because he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And the Lord just said, come. He'd heard that word before when he said, follow me. And he made a decision to follow Christ and trust him. And now he said, I want you to come to me. And he does what no other disciple in the boat does. He steps out on faith and puts his foot on top of a rocky old turbulent wave. And he begins to plant it there as solid and walk towards the Lord Jesus. But the Bible says this about Peter. This man that was unstable, this man that was impulsive, as he's walking, making his way to the Lord, he looks around and sees the winds and the waves coming against him boisterously. And the Bible says he began to become and grow to be afraid. And when he succumbed to fear, the Bible said he began to sink. And he looked and said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and picked him up and walked him back to the boat. Now, this man named Simon Peter certainly has favor if the Lord would let him walk on the water. How many of you's had that favor that God granted you to walk on the water? Yet there's been storms that he's brought you through. When there's no way it looked like you could go through it, God gave you the faith to believe, and you went all the way through the storm. Many times, yes, he carried you. Yes, many times you were afraid, but you've made it just fine. Ain't God been good to you since you made your decision to follow Christ? Ain't God been good to you and been demonstrating His favor that He's granted towards you? We won't just stop with this storm, this master walking on the sea. What about in Matthew 17? At the Mount of Transfiguration, verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. We do see that Jesus is called these sons of thunder. These have special favor and privilege up to the mountain where Jesus transfigured, meaning that the glory of God on the inside of Jesus began to shine through the physical outside of Jesus. Understand, the outside of Jesus would tell us that there's nothing about him that would be desired. Nobody would really want to be around him. There is no beauty in him, no attractiveness in him. The Bible would further tell us that Jesus was a homeless man. And he was not someone that many people would want to be about. They're not following him for how he looks, but on the inside, the glory of God begins to show out. And Peter, James, and John, the Bible would tell you in the book of Luke that their eyes are heavy with sleep. Seems like Peter's always sleeping. He's probably a Baptist sleeping through a sermon. He's heavy asleep. Got a special privilege to be with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's asleep. And he kind of hears some people talking about the death of Jesus Christ, which was coming up. And as Peter looks up, it's Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus about Jesus' soon-to-be death. I do not see a formal introduction. I don't see where Jesus said, "Hey, Elijah and Moses, this is Simon Peter. Simon Peter, James, John." There's no introduction. These men lived years apart. They could not have known each other. Yet immediately they knew who each other were. That was a heavenly experience when the glory of God just began to show out. Amen. And Peter, that great man that was impulsive, that great man who had made a decision to follow Christ and now is being demonstrated favor, he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." And it was. It's always good to be around Jesus. But the problem was, he didn't stop there. He said a little more. He said, "If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." You see, Simon's got it all messed up. "Lord, it's good for us to be here," and it sure is. But you should not, listen, you should not be worshiping Moses and the law. You should not be worshiping Elijah and the prophets. But you should worship Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Let's go on one more time in Matthew chapter number 26. Jesus is on his way to the garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says in verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, the sons of thunder, the ones that are privileged. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." The Bible would tell us in the book of Luke that Jesus, his prayer and agony became so great that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Verse 40, Jesus comes back. The Bible says, "He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And Jesus went back further in the garden and began to pray again. He comes back a second time to check on them. Guess what? Peter, James, and John, those favored sons of thunder, are asleep again. You'd think if Jesus does something wonderful for you and gives you a rare opportunity, you would be thankful, you would be praying, you would be seeking the face of God. But not these boys. The blessings and the favor of God had become so commonplace for them, they became unappreciative and just slept through it. And we realize that in all three occasions, Peter being out there on the storm to walk on the water, Peter to be out there with Jesus as he's praying in the garden, Peter to be on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus and see the glory of God, each and every time, Peter failed in the place of privilege. He was asleep. He began to sink. And guess what? He said, "Let's build three different tabernacles." Not just lifting up Jesus as Lord of lords and King of kings. He had the demonstration of the favor in Christ. But I tell you, he didn't appreciate it. Thirdly, in the book of Matthew chapter 16. I want us to see his declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. His declaration of faith. There's a great challenge. The Lord asks a question in verse 15 of Matthew 16. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now see, this is a question to the whole group. It is a plural question. He saith unto them, meaning the whole group, but whom say ye? Ye meaning plural, the whole group. Whom say ye that I am? You give Simon Peter opportunity to talk, he's going to. He jumps up. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, what a great confession of Jesus. He called him the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. He said he is the Son of God. Not just the Son of God, but the Son of the living God. God only has one Son. One begotten Son. His name is Jesus. What's this great commitment the Lord makes to him? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You know what the word bar means? It's speaking of the word of, who your parents are. Simon of Jonah. His daddy's name was really John in the Hebrew. We've seen him before in John 1:42. We read to you that he was the son of Jonah. There we go. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon, wait a minute. Simon, unstable. Simon, who's a person who's a spur of the moment type of person. He didn't call him Peter right there. He called him Simon. The man is unstable. He had just professed that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and he called him Simon, which is unstable. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. He's going to change from Simon to Peter. Thou art Peter. You may not be right now, but you will be. That thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you understand that the church is not built upon Simon Peter? Some say he's the first pope. Take me. To be a pope, you can't be married. My Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 that Jesus went to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. You don't get a mother-in-law unless you get married. I found that out. I love you. He is building the church upon the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Not just the confession, but the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. The church is built upon the great foundation that Jesus is the Son of God. And the gates of hell, do you hear this? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. He says in verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What a great declaration of faith in Christ that Simon Peter has made. But the Lord began to say in verse 21 that he was going to be killed. He was going to be raised again the third day. And the Bible says in verse 22 that Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He's going to stop him from going to the cross. But he turned and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. What? For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. This same man who had made a great declaration of faith has now gave up some great words of doubt and denial. Remember, he said, blessed art thou, Simon. You're not Peter yet, you're still Simon. He knew Simon was getting ready to try to stop him from going to the cross. Because the devil was trying to deceive him. He'll do the same thing to you. He'll do his best to deceive a good Baptist church and a Baptist preacher any opportunity he gets. From Simon to Peter, his decision to follow Christ, his demonstration of favor in Christ, his declaration of faith in Christ. Luke 22, and we're done. What about the design of fellowship he has in Christ? Luke 22 and verse 31. I would like to submit to you that Simon is like many of us. just common, everyday, ordinary people. We'll make bold declarations and live perfectly by faith and then walk around and act foolishly. Strainer than that, swallow a camel. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, not just once, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now look this up. The word you, this is good. The word you in this verse is plural. It's like he's saying to Simon, who's been the spokesmodel for the group, Simon, Simon, the Lord wants you to know that Satan has desired to have you as a group, that he may sift you. There's the plural word again for you. That he may sift you as a group like wheat. But I have prayed for thee, you individually, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This design of fellowship with Christ may allow some persecutions in your life, may allow some tribulations. Can I get a witness? May allow some sifting. Any of y'all know what a sifter is? Put your hand up high. Most of us. I remember Granny would get out the old sifter there, but had that lumpy old flare in there. What does it do? It shakes it and separates it and gets the lumps out. It was a sifter. I believe Simon has some intentions here with this sifting. He spent 3 years with Jesus. He's had years of teaching and training and witnessing the miracles of God. He is told that Satan wants to have the whole group and sift them like wheat. And he's told by the Savior, he said, I prayed for you. In other words, I'm not going to let everybody be sifted. I'm just going to allow it to come to you. And he's told that the Lord is going to be praying for him. And once more, the impulsive Simon opens his mouth and inserts his foot and boasted. Look at verse 33. And said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both in the prison and to death. Now I believe true in his heart, sincerely and earnestly, his desire was to go with Jesus all the way. But he got confident in himself and not confident in his Lord. He didn't think he needed the prayers of the Lord. He thought he could do things on his own. You see, Simon's intention is, I can handle this, Lord. It'll be all right. Simon's one of the characters of this statement in Luke 22. Satan is here too, right? Not only does Simon have an intention, Satan has an intention. Do you understand? Please, everyone know that Satan, his desire to have you as a group has to go through permission to the Lord. What he's saying is Satan's come and asked permission to sift you as an entire group. You see, Satan's real desire is to destroy the work of God in Simon's life. He don't want him to become Simon Peter. He wants him just to stay Simon. Unstable. Wishy-washy. Spur of the moment. He says, I don't want him to be a rock. Now, Satan wants to destroy, listen to this if you don't get anything else. Satan wants to destroy the past glory of Simon Peter by attacking his confession and attacking his privilege. Do you understand that all this time that Simon Peter has been making these great confessions and all, at every opportunity Satan's trying to trip him up, he was asleep, right? He was not interested. He began to sink when he walked on the water. The devil's always trying to trip him up. And right here, he hears what Peter said in this confession, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he heard Jesus say that I'm going to build my church upon this rock and the gates of hell not prevail against it. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And the devil says, well, we can't have that. I can't have Simon Peter having the keys of the kingdom. I've got to stop his testimony. I've got to attack him. I've got to shut down Bethel Baptist Church. I've got to dive all over the preacher. I've got to get people upset with him. and divided against him over big things or small things or whatever things important to me. Major, minor. I've got to get division in the church. I've got to stop the Sunday school teacher. I've got to stop the associate pastor. We've got to do something about this youth choir. And he's desired to sift the church as wheat. That's his intention, is to destroy the work of God in our lives and the past glory of your testimonies. He wants to not only destroy your past glory, but your present position. What do you mean? He wants to make you unfit and unreliable. He wants to destroy your potential value. What's he going to do? Hey, do you know how you would sift wheat in those days? You would harvest the grain or harvest the wheat, and you would take it to a threshing floor, and you would stomp it. Not do something that you move with your hand, but you would stomp it. And it would break open the hard shell, and the grain would come out. He said, this is what the devil wants to do as you as a group. He wants to sift you. He wants to trap you. He wants to destroy your potential value. He don't want you to grow any further. He don't want you to get closer to God. He don't want to see more people come to this church. He wants you to get satisfied with where you are. Well, I'll give you, had a few saved. Good enough. Just stop there. I'll give you that you added on to church. Just stop there. You're not interested in doing anything else. You've sacrificed enough. Just be happy with where you are, says the devil. He's trying to sift this church and attack you and make you unfit and unreliable and get you even questioning your own relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Simon has been capable of before. At every opportunity for special favor, he failed. Every opportunity he failed. And Satan says, I got him. I'm going to make him unreliable. But the Savior has an intention too. Do you understand if God allows it, it must be for our good? Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. You understand, the Lord lets, but the Lord also limits. The Savior's trying to say to Simon, you're going to be trampled. I'm going to allow it just in your life. You're going to be sifted by doubts, disappointments, discouragements, difficulties, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, what does that mean, converted? Was he not saved? Oh, he's saved. But he, even as a saved person, he's a bit unreliable and a bit insecure and a bit unstable. You ever felt that way about you? I know to do right, but somehow I always end up wanting to do the wrong. And I usually go with the wrong. I do wrong more than I do right. So somebody in this building probably can say that. I know that I do. Amen? And the way I think and the things that I, my actions and my words. And so he says, when thou art converted. Converted means to turn around. Not just talking about his salvation, but when you have a change of heart. When you decided you're going to learn that this trial, this sifting process in your life, I've allowed not to, you'd be hindered, but that you'd be made stronger. He said, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, when you're changed, strengthen the brethren. You do understand that that wheat that has the hard shell, the Lord's allowing the devil to stomp and trample on his life, and he's breaking him. God allows some things, some difficulties, some despair, some disappointment, some tears, some heartbreak to come in your life. And you know it was the devil that was doing these things, but he allows them to say, listen, I can't use you till you get broken. I've got to get you past your hard candy shell. I want what's on the inside of you. This wheat that is broken, the wind would blow away the chaff. The outer shell, whoo, that's the Holy Ghost, blows it away. What you have left laying there is the grain. They would come and harvest up the grain. They'd take that and they'd go and make bread. I am the true bread sent down from heaven. Amen. The only way you're going to strengthen the brethren is to feed them. He said, I'll allow you to feed them the bread of the Word of God. After you've been through the sifting process and you become broken. And when you realize in this breaking, in this shifting process, when you realize that I've prayed for you, when you realize this is for your good and for my glory, when you are converted, when you've had a change of heart, when you're willing to submit to me, Simon, and really serve me, then you'll become Peter, which is a rock and solid. In the book of Acts, after Jesus arose from the dead, Peter saw him, and he went out and began to preach the gospel, and 3,000 got saved. He was no longer denying the Lord, but thousands were being saved. You see, something happened in his life. He was no longer Simon. He became Peter. And I'm telling you this morning, there's some people in this church. You've been unstable. You felt unfit. You felt unreliable. But you realize you're going through a sifting process of persecution and trouble and difficulty and disappointment. And you're rubbed a little bit raw by what the preacher did about this. And you're a little bit upset about what the church did about that. So-and-so bothers you. And what the devil's trying to do is get your eyes off of Jesus. He just wants to get your eyes off of Jesus. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you something, church. The Lord's already prayed for every one of us, amen. It's going to be all right, amen. He's going to turn it into bread for the glory of God. You just need to be changed. You need a change of heart and say, the Lord's trying to make me stronger. He's trying to make me better. I think I won't fight Him no more. I'm just going to let Him do that in my life. You stand to your feet.
Someone come to the piano. I must remind you this morning that if Jesus suffered, you'll suffer. If He bore a cross, you'll bear a cross. Would you come? Would you come? Someone come to the instruments, please. I wonder if there'd be somebody here today who said, Lord's dealt with me this morning. Until you recognize the sifting, until you recognize what's going on, you're not going to get the help that you need. The devil don't want you to encourage somebody else. He don't want you to pray for somebody else. He don't want you to be burdened for somebody else. He wants you to be concerned just about you. I'll tell you what, you've got to get over being Simon and become Peter. Cephas, which is a stone, a rock. You might pray for others and encourage them and strengthen them. Preacher, you don't understand what I've been going through with my family. You're right, I don't, but Jesus does. He's allowed it for His glory and your good. I'm asking you, would you humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to figure it out. I just want to bow before Your authority and say, Lord, I'm being broken. And the more I'm broken, the more I learn about You. Would you come? Our Father and our God, as we bow this morning, Lord, we thank You that we've made a decision to follow Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, that You've allowed us many opportunities to demonstrate the special favor we have with Christ. Many times, all of us could say we felt like we were Your personal favorite. But You treat us all the same, and we know that. Lord, we look around and we understand this morning that these great declarations of our faith, to be faithful to church and to stand up and testify, they're all well and good. But help us, God, not to defeat that purpose on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. God, when we go out amongst the world and act like the world, and become unstable, unfit, and unreliable. Lord, help us to realize this morning that the devil does desire to sift this church. But the Lord, pray for us. Now, Lord, You may allow some sifting to take place, but You pray for us. And God, I believe this morning that our faith will stand. And I believe, God, that we're going to be made stronger, converted, even stronger than we are now.